What's going on, podcast world? This is Eric D. Seals, and you are listening to A Filmmaker's Guide to Freelancing. It has been just too long since I've recorded an episode, and I feel really bad. I feel bad because I started this journey of creating content. I wanted to get more information out to the world, and then I fell short. And the reason I fell short is a couple of things. Number one, work got busy. Number two, this stuff, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy. And to create this content on top of what you're doing to pay the bills takes a lot of work. And I took some time off because I underestimated how much this would take on my schedule. And now I'm back. My goal is to stay consistent. For those who have followed me, listen to my content, watch my videos. Thank you. I appreciate the support. I'm going to do a better job at not letting you down by consistently putting out information. And so I should know what episode this is. You would think I would have looked that up before I started recording this, but this is the next episode. And I actually wasn't thinking about doing a podcast about this. And then it kind of hit me that there's information out there that you sometimes think that people don't want to hear this. They've heard this a million times before, and they're not interested in hearing it from your perspective or your take. But I had somebody ask me several questions about what it has taken to build a production company. And that's what this episode is all about. It's building a production company. Now, the information that I have about building a production company is just through what I've done with DigiFay. So I started my own production company, DigiFay, back in 2012. I was freelancing before that, and I had some production jobs before that. In 2012, I decided to start my own production company, and a lot of the things that I've learned have just been through, honestly, a lot of it has been making mistakes. Some of it has been, or I feel like my learning has come from a couple different areas. So reading books, watching tutorials online, and learning from the mistakes that I've made over the years. I think the fourth would be working at different production companies and saying, I don't want to do that when I start my own company. And so when I look back in 2012, I think the first question that you have to ask yourself is, why do you want to start a production company? I know why I started. It wasn't my initial idea, so to speak, when I decided to get into film and production. But why do you want to start a production company? I think a lot of people say they want to start a production company, but don't have a reason. So my reason was I was tired of being the only black person on set. I was tired of going to set and being the token black guy, the only black guy, or the black guy that they hired just so that they can get a tax credit, which has happened to me before. And I was tired of it. And I'm just like, it's one thing when we're doing a project where we're not talking to or interviewing black people or doing a story about black life. But when we were, and most of the people on the set were white and I wasn't, obviously I'm not, but when most of the people are white on set, and at the time you had me as like a PA, I was just like, this is messed up. And 9 times out of 10, I would connect with the person that they're doing an interview with or they're talking with, you know, during lunch or, you know, before or after production. And you would have people sometimes be like, hey, you know, where's everybody else on set? And whenever a black person says, where's everybody else? They don't mean the other people in the room. They mean, where are the other black people? And so I felt that for me to make a change in the industry that I want to see change in, I have to do something myself. You know, some people want to, you know, write letters to production companies or, you know, push production companies to have more diverse hires. I felt the way for me to make a change is I'm just going to start my own thing and I'm going to build it exactly how I want it to look. And the people behind the scenes are going to represent a lot of the stories and the people who are in front of the camera. So how did it start? Well, I think it all depends. Everybody starts a production company in a very different way. In from 2010 to 2012, I was freelancing. I had just recently left ESPN as a video editor, and I was freelancing. I was working, honestly, I was working anywhere where anybody would hire me. And that was going relatively well. And then I was working with a client, and I had recently lost a bid or a job that I was going to do as a freelancer. They went with this other production company. And I remember having a conversation with this person who was close enough to me to let me know what was going on. And I appreciated that. He was like, look, you're fresh in the industry. You're just one person. For this project, we needed a guarantee that everything was going to work out. So we decided to go with this other production company. And I told him, I said, dude, look, I'm offering it. I don't know the exact prices at the time, but it was something along the lines of like, I'm offering to do this for $5,000. That company is going to charge you $50,000. Why wouldn't you go with me? Because my work is just as good and I'm way less. I cost much less than that other production company. And he was like, look at it. He's like, I want you to look at it like this. Yes, that company is way more expensive than you are. But with that pricing, we are guaranteed. We feel that we're guaranteed to get the product that we want. They're going to do it on time. If someone is sick at the company, we're still going to get our work on time. If you get sick, there's nobody else to work on it. And for us to pay $50,000 towards this production company, we know that that's going towards their overhead, their equipment, their experience, their knowledge, their guaranteed, you know, ability to make sure that we get it on time. You're more of a risk. And it was at that time that I realized if I want to start getting larger jobs, I might have to build a team around me, because there's a perception that larger teams cost more and do a better job than an individual. And it's not false. It's true to a certain extent, but I think it's what the general business world thinks when they're hiring somebody. And so at that time, the other thing that we talked about was, you know, if we have a job between, you know, $5,000 and $15,000 or $20,000, we're happy to use somebody in Chicago. But for some of our projects, it's, you know, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. We feel more comfortable hiring some of the professionals that might come from LA or New York. So if you want to compete in the Chicagoland area, you know, try to find that ballpark between that $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, maybe $20,000, because a lot of companies in this area, once you hit that 100+, you're now competing with larger production companies in other cities that might have a name, and you know they have the I don't say support, but they have that LA director, that New York director feel to them. So at that time, I'm like, look, it doesn't take much. I'm gonna go ahead and start my own production company. And that's what I did. And the difference between starting my own production company and freelancing, at the time, I didn't think there was a big difference. I was editing, I was shooting, I was working on these projects. And now the only difference was I was doing it under a name. I got an LLC, I got an EIN number, and now I'm doing it under my production company. But I quickly realized that a lot of people didn't see the difference between me as a freelancer and me running the production company. So one thing to note, once you start your production company, if it's just you, a lot of people aren't going to see you any different than if they're working with a freelancer or something along those lines. It takes time for them to start looking at you a little bit different. So I'm freelancing. I'm starting to work by myself on these different projects under my new company, Digital Cafe at the time, but now Digife. Early on, I think, I don't want to say mistakes, but one of the things that I quickly realized is you need to be putting out the work that you want people to see. When I first started Digife, I was working on anything that anybody would pay me for, whether it was a birthday party, a wedding, a bar mitzvah, anything that anybody hired me for, I would do it. And I put it on my website. But the problem with that was, if I'm coming to your website and you have a whole bunch of different type of videos, then I feel like you're not an expert on any of them. And so if there's any advice I can give when you're starting your production company, find your niche of where you want to land. Now, that doesn't mean don't do those other jobs. That just means maybe you shouldn't post them. So for instance, if you want to be known for music videos, if you want to be known for corporate work, don't post wedding videos. When you start posting wedding videos, you're going to get more clients that want wedding videos. If you want to get into corporate work, post corporate work. If you want to get into music videos or you want to get into documentaries, post the work that you want to be doing. Now, the question I usually hear right after that is, but I'm not getting hired for that work. There's a simple answer for that, actually. You need to start producing the content that you want to get paid for, regardless if you're getting hired for it or not. So if you want to do documentary work and nobody's hiring you to do documentaries, then you need to go create your own documentaries, or you need to reach out to a company, an individual, or find a story where you can start creating that content for free to get your work out there. If someone came up to me and said, hey, I'm trying to build my reel, this is what I'm trying to do, it's going to come at no cost for you. This is what I need. I need a day or an interview or some B-roll. If I can get that from you and you like it, you can have the video. If you don't like it, then you can keep it to yourself. I'd be like, bet, let's do it. And so, especially if you're trying to get into wedding videos, there's hundreds of people that I'll let you shoot their wedding for free. If it's music videos, there's hundreds of people who will let you shoot their music video for free. Get the free stuff that you do out first, because that's where you're going to make the mistakes and that's where you're going to learn. You don't want to learn on a music video when someone pays you $20,000. You want to learn on the music video that you offer to do for free. And hey, if it doesn't work out, it's no sweat off of their back because they didn't pay for it anyway. So it's really important to put out the content that you want to be hired for, because you're only going to get more of that type of work. The next thing that is important to realize, I feel like I just figured this out a couple months ago, but just recently, is the best way to get more work is to create more work. Number one, a lot of creatives will get referrals and recommendation based off of a previous project that they did. And so when you're just starting out, don't focus on money. I always focus on money before, like, oh, if they don't got enough, then I'm not doing it. I'm worth more. At the beginning of your production company, you need to get your stuff out there, because if I look at all the clients that we've worked with over the years, a big chunk of that has come from previous jobs and recommendations. And so at the beginning, the more jobs that you can build up, it's just going to lead to more opportunities as you continue with your company. Sometimes freelancers and people who are starting a production company are getting caught up in the wrong things too early. And I know that I did. So if there's anything that you can do, focus on putting out great work and getting that out so more people can see it. You can't get hired if they don't know about you. And the other thing that people are afraid to do sometimes, after a successful project, ask for a recommendation. Ask for that person to email and connect you with three other companies. I wasn't doing that at the beginning, but now reaching out to our good clients who like working with us, they're going to open the door for people who wouldn't even answer your email because they have that person's ear. And if that person say, hey, this is who you need to be working with, that's going to open the doors a lot faster. So I wish I had implemented that earlier in DigiPhase formation, because I was just like, oh, you shouldn't be asking for recommendations. Ask for recommendations. Ask for the work. Like, hey, a simple way to do it. Hi, John. I'm glad that you enjoyed working with us. You know, we're trying to build our company and we're trying to grow our network and work with other clients similar to you. I would love it if you can connect me with fill in the blank. Now, if you have the actual company that they can recommend you to, that's even better. But if not, we're trying to work with, other schools or other organizations or other 501c3s just like you. Is there anybody you can connect us with via email? If you just did a great project for them, a lot of the people are going to say yes. So ask for recommendations. The other thing is, especially in the early days, and this is not only for production companies, but it's also for just freelancers, your network is going to be the key to your success. Now, as a freelancer, and even as a production company, I didn't realize that there's a power in networking with people who do the same thing that you do. For a long time, I didn't network. I didn't talk to people who were an editor or was a DP or director because I'm like, oh, there can only be, I had a fish in the barrel mentality or only one of us can win mentality. And the truth is all of us can win. And what I actually found out was as I start connecting with more people who do the exact same thing as me, my career blossomed to a whole nother level. The production company blossomed to a whole nother level. Because here's the thing. You can only take so many jobs. Once you get booked for a job that one day, you can't take that job anymore. And so if you start building a network of people who do the same thing that you do, they're going to want to keep it in the family, so to speak, and they're going to hand that job off to you. So I have a list of different DPs that do great work, and I'll get an email once a week, every other week, like, hey, this person recommended you. And they do the same thing that I do, which means that they couldn't take the job that day, and they want to hand it off to someone that they know, one, so that I can do the same thing for them in the future. Two, you want to hand it off to someone who's going to make you look good so you're not, that client isn't pissed like, man, you recommended Eric and he sucks. You don't want that, you know? And so before, my thought process was compete against everybody and, you know, don't work with anybody. But I later found out that the way to really expand your network is to make sure you connect with people who do the same thing as you. On the flip side, it's also important to network with people that are outside of the video production world. You know, most of the clients that you want from the video production side aren't in video production. So connecting with other companies that do video, that's not going to benefit you as much as, you know, working with a mom and pop place or a place that sells shoes or a car wash or, you know, a corporation or a nonprofit. You want to be connecting with those people because those are the people who need video. That's another thing that I didn't realize. It seems real simple, but I was just trying to connect with video people all the time. You want to connect with people who are outside of the video world because they are the one who need your services. Having longevity in your skill is also going to benefit you. And that's something that you can't speed up. So I've seen posts where people get made fun of because 1 year they're, you know, a Bitcoin expert. The next year they're in real estate. The next year they're a social media expert. And if you look at the last few years, they change what they do every few years. And that's going to hurt you. Not saying that you can't change what you do. You know, you can change what you do. But, you know, if at all possible, try to stay in the same realm of the career that you want to build. For instance, I started as an editor and then I built a production company. And now I'm DPing and now I'm looking into directing. But if you look at that, that falls under the umbrella of film and video production. So that's okay. As people go to different agencies and different companies, if you're doing the same thing that you were doing 10 years ago and you're getting better, that's only going to help you get more clients and more jobs. So it's something very simple. And honestly, a lot of these are very simple. A lot of the things to get us to the next level, we all know what they are, but we think there's like a magic pill and there isn't. It takes time. Now, there are going to be some production companies that hit a stride or they hit a lick and they have overnight success. That's the exception. The truth is most companies have to put in work year after year to build a reputation, to build equipment, to build cash flow. So no, that is not going to happen overnight. More likely, unless you're lucky. And even if you do, you don't even necessarily want that because the quicker it goes up is the quicker it can go down. If it's taken 10 years to build it, there's going to be a better chance that it's not going to fall over overnight. You know what I mean? And so there's value in looking at it from the aspect of a marathon instead of a sprint. A lot of people would ask, what's the magic formula to start your video production company? There isn't one. Everybody's has started in a different way. Everybody's had a different mission, a different goal. And you have to look into why you want to start a production company. You know, the reason that I started it is not going to be value to why you need to start it. I think some of the benefits that I've appreciated about starting a production company for me. Number one, I want to work with more people who look like me. I feel Black people have less opportunities in film and video production. And so I want to create a space where more people have that opportunity. I was mentored by Ms. Beverly Price, a producer here in Chicago who has done all types of work throughout the city and nationwide. And one of the things she always told me is pay it forward. Don't pay it back. You don't need to pay me back anything. She's like, I'm good. You know, pay it forward to someone else who looks like you in the future. So that's been another reason that I wanted to start a production company. I also don't want to work all the time. That sounds funny, but it's just like, I don't want to have to do every single job that we do. I want to be able to work with a team that's able to do, you know, a portion of the job. Or if I get sick, someone else can, you know, take over and do the edit or go to the shoot. And if you're just an individual, you can't do that. And I like working with people. I mean, it feels much better when you get the largest job to date as a production company versus as a freelancer. You know, you don't have anybody to experience that with or go through the struggles with. And so I like that idea of doing it. Plus, I feel like having people who are around you that are more talented makes your work better. So I can think of a whole bunch of reasons of why I want to start a production company. And you have to find your reason why you want to. I think it can be great. I think the thing that a lot of freelancers mess up, and I know I did as well, is you can't run a freelancer business like you run a production company. If you want to edit it all day and just be an editor while having a production company, that's not going to work. You're going to need someone who's helping with operations and HR and financing. And so I thought I was going to be able to just be an editor and have these other cool people work around me and we would just all work it out. But no, I have to step in business mode. And every year that goes by, I step further away from doing the actual work inside of the business, which is good. And it should be the goal. The goal is for you to work on the business while your team works in the business. And so while I love editing, I've learned that instead of being inside the edit, I can work with two or three different editors and watch the work that they're creating and give my input on several different projects instead of just working on one project. So you can't just run your business just like if you were a freelancer. You need to start looking into the business side of it. You need to think about cash flow and income. You need to think about benefits. You need to think about payroll. You need to think about days off, sick pay, taxes, accountant, lawyers. Like, I'm not going to get into the details of each one of those things, but once you decide to switch over and to run it as a business, you need to look at video very different. Then I'm going to make some videos and charge whatever to do it. It becomes an operation because people start depending on that. You know, people start depending on what you're creating as a business, and, you know, they want to be able to put food on their table. So, man, it's been a minute. I'm going to get back into it. I feel a little rusty, but I want to get all the knowledge that I have out so I can hopefully help somebody else. And this was just an episode that was on my mind. Looking forward to getting content out there again. Hope I can get support for what I'm creating. And if you have any questions, comments, I hope you don't have any concerns, but reach out to me. Let me know how you're feeling about it. If you have any ideas, if you agree with me on something, if you disagree, let me know. Cause I want to get this stuff back out there again. I don't know what the next episode is going to be, but until that next episode, I appreciate you. And until next time. Ooh.